Title: Stereo Width for Pads and FX Masterclass Without Third-Party Plugins Beginner. All right, welcome in. Today we're doing a drum and bass stereo width masterclass for pads and FX, and we're doing it stock Ableton only. No third-party wideness, no fancy plugins, just clean routing, a couple of smart chains, and the kind of width that feels massive in headphones, but still survives a club system. Here's the main idea you're going to keep repeating all lesson long. Width is a vibe, but center is power. In DNB, your kick, snare, bass, and especially your sub are basically your center of gravity. Pads, atmospheres, risers, noise effects, little ear candy moments, those can live on the sides and make the track feel wide and modern. But if you spill the wrong frequencies into stereo, you can literally make the drop feel weaker. So what are we building? Two things. First, a repeatable pad width chain you can throw on a pad track or a pads group. Second, a dedicated wide FX return so you can push width hard in the breakdown, then pull it back in the drop without redoing your whole mix. Before we touch any devices, let's lock in a few rules. Rule 1. Sub, meaning roughly below 120 Hz, is mono. Period. Rule 2. Kick and snare live in the center. You can add stereo room around them, but the core hits should be centered. Rule 3. Pads and FX can be wide, but they should not be louder than the groove. If you feel the pad more than the drums, it's usually too much. And rule 4. If it sounds wide but your drop loses punch, you probably widened the low mids. That 150 to 400-ish zone is where mud wide lives. Cool. Let's set up the session in a way that makes width easy to control. Step 1. Routing. Create two return tracks. Return A, name it FX wide. Return B, name it FX verb. That one is optional, but it's useful if you want a separate, more standard reverb later. Now group your tracks. Put your pads and atmospheres into a group called pads. Put your risers, noise sweeps, impacts, transitions into a group called FX. The reason we do this is simple teacher logic. We want consistency and fast automation. If the width is living on a return and a group chain, you can automate one or two knobs and the entire section changes vibe instantly. Now let's build the pad width chain. Pick your main pad track, or just do this on the pads group if you want all pads to share the same treatment. Device order is going to be EQ8, then chorus ensemble, then utility, and optionally auto filter. First device, EQ8. We're cleaning up and making the pad behave. Turn on a high pass filter, set it to 24 dB per octave, and put it somewhere around 150 to 250 Hz. Start at 200. This is one of those moves that immediately makes drum and bass mixes feel more professional, because you're not letting pad energy fight the bass and the punch of the drums. If the pad feels boxy, Annabelle dip around 300 to 600 Hz, usually -2 to -4 dB. Keep the Q moderate, around 1.2-ish. Don't oversculpt, just clear the fog. Second device. Chorus ensemble. Set it to ensemble mode. That's typically smoother and gives you width, without sounding like a cheap chorus. Rate. Slow. 0.2 to 0.6 Hz. Think drifting movement, not wobbling. Amount. 15 to 35%. Width. 120 to 180%. Mix. 20 to 40%. And here's the coaching note. If you start hearing facey weirdness, your first move is not to panic and delete it. Just reduce width first. Then reduce mix. People usually overdo it because wide feels exciting, but phase problems are the tax you pay for too much modulation. Third device, utility. This is your steering wheel. Set width somewhere around 120 to 160%. Don't go crazy yet. Now do a quick mono check right here. Click mono on utility for a second or two. If the pad completely disappears or turns hollow and sad, you're relying too much on stereo tricks and not enough on a solid mono core. And a really practical arrangement move. Automate utility width. In the breakdown, maybe you're at 150 to 170%. In the drop, bring it down to 110 to 135%. That tiny narrowing at the drop makes the drums and bass feel like they got bigger, even if you didn't change their levels. Fourth device, optional. Auto filter. Low pass it to keep pads from fighting your hats and top end detail. Set it to low pass, frequency around 8 to 14 kHz. At a little drive, like 1 to 3 dB. No need for fancy envelope stuff unless you want movement. The point is, pads are usually space behind the drums, not the lead singer. Now we're going to do the secret sauce. Midside EQ, stock Ableton. Add another EQ8 after your chain. Twitch EQ8 into M/S mode. Now click the side channel, the S. On the side channel, at a high-pass filter at around 250 to 400 Hz. If you want a safe starting point, try 350. What this does is huge. It keeps the low mids anchored in the center. Your pad can still feel wide, but it won't smear the drop when the bass comes in. Still on the side, at a gentle high shelf at 6 to 10 kHz, maybe plus 1 to plus 3 dB. That's air on the sides, and it's way more controlled than just widening everything. Then click the mid channel, the M. If your snare starts losing presence, dip a touch around 1 to 3 kHz in the mid channel, just a dB or two. Q around 1.0. This is a subtle but powerful trick. You make space for the snare crack in the center while leaving the pad's width intact. At this point, your pad should feel wide, but also disciplined. Now we build the expensive sounding wide FX return. Go to return A, FX wide. The chain is hybrid reverb, then echo or delay, then utility, then EQ8. First, hybrid reverb. Choose hall or shimmer. Shimmer can be beautiful, but in darker dB it can get shiny in a way you might not want, so use your taste. Decay, 2 to 5 seconds. But remember, in drops, shorter is usually better. Predelay, 15 to 35 milliseconds. This is a big deal. Predelay lets the dry hit speak before the reverb blooms, so your drums stay punchy. Because it's a return track, set mix to 100%. Second, echo or delay. Echo is great for character and stereo. Turn sync on. Pick 1/8 dotted or 1/4. Feedback 15 to 35%. Make it stereo, with left and right not exactly identical if possible. Add very subtle modulation, like 0.5 to 2.0, just enough to feel alive. Mix stays 100% because it's a return. Third, utility. Set width around 120 to 170%. We're widening the return, not the dry signal, which is generally safer. Fourth, EQ8. High pass the return around 200 to 400 Hz. Start at 300. If it gets harsh, dip a little around 2 to 4 kHz. Now, arrangement coaching. In breakdowns, you send more pads and Atmos to FX wide. Let it bloom. Let it feel cinematic. In drops, pull the send down so the groove is dry and fast. If you're doing jungle vibes, a cool move is to send ghost snare hits lightly to FX wide to create space, but keep the main snare mostly dry so it still punches. Next, a quick instant width trick for risers and noise effects. Hostile delay. On the FX track itself, do this chain: utility, then delay, then utility, then EQ8. First utility. Keep width at 100%. This is just level discipline. Don't let the FX trick you into thinking it's better because it's louder. Then the delay device. Turn sync off so you're working in milliseconds. Set left to about 10 to 20 ms. Set right to about 20 to 35 ms. Feedback at 0. Dry/wet. If this is a widening layer, you can go 100% wet. If you still want the dry center, do 30 to 60%. Then a second utility after the delay. Now you can push width, like 130 up to 200%. But do the mono test. Toggle mono quickly. If it disappears, reduce the delay times and slash or reduce the wet amount. Ha's widening can collapse hard in mono if you push it too far. Then EQ8. High pass 200 to 500 Hz. Effects generally do not need low end. Optionally low pass around 10 to 14 kHz if you want darker techie vibes. This is perfect for uplifters before the drop. Huge width, but it doesn't compete with the bass because you remove the lows. Now let's talk about keeping the drop powerful, because this is where most beginner width attempts fall apart. Do a quick mono check every session. On the master, temporarily put a utility at the very end. Toggle mono for 5 seconds while the drop plays. If your vibe vanishes, that means your width is facey or you're putting important frequencies in the side channel. Then disable or remove that utility after checking. It's a diagnostic tool, not a permanent effect. Another high impact trick: side cleanup. On the PAS group and FX group, add EQ8 in M/S mode and high pass the side channel around 250 to 500 Hz. This one move fixes a massive percentage of why is my drop smeary problems, because it targets the low mid fog, not just the sub. Now, some teacher level mindset that will save you years. Your width budget is limited. If everything is wide, nothing feels wide. Pick one or two elements per section to really carry the sides. For example, a pad bed, plus one noise layer. Everything else can be moderately wide or even slightly narrow. Also, stereo is not the same as level. Wide often feels louder, even when it isn't. So when you /B your width changes, level match. Use utility gain and make it the same perceived loudness. then decide if it's actually better. And here's a super reliable workflow. Make the pad sound good in mono first, then add width as a subtle layer or on a return. That way, if the drop gets messy, you can dial back one send or one chain instead of reworking the patch. Now I'll give you two upgrade options you can use even as a beginner. First upgrade, a parallel sides only rack. Create an audio effect rack on your pad group with two chains. Chain 1 is MID core. Put a utility on it and intentionally narrow it. Width may be 0 to 60%. Optional, a touch of saturator, tiny drive, soft clip on. This helps the core stay present without beating loud. Chain 2 is side shimmer. Put a Q8 in M/S and focus on the side channel. High pass the sides around 300 to 500 Hz. Add a small shelf boost around 7 to 12 kHz. Add chorus ensemble with a low mix just for movement. Then utility with width 160 to 200%. Now, the golden rule. Turn that side chain down until you miss it when muted, not until it's obvious. That's how you get expensive width. Second upgrade. Width that ducks with the snare. On the sides chain, add a compressor. Side chain it from the snare or the drum bus. Ratio 2:1. Attack 5 to 15 ms. Release 80 to 200 ms. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on snare hits. That way your stereo lushness gets out of the way exactly when the snare needs to smack. Now quick arrangement ideas, because width is a story tool in DNB. Intro. Go wide. Atmos. Noise textures. Stereo space. Build. Automate a little wider, increase FX wide send, drop, tighten width slightly, reduce reverb sends, keep drums and bass forward. Second breakdown, wide again, maybe more stereo delay on ear candy. Final drop, keep width mostly in the top end only. Low mids stay disciplined. Try three easy automations. Pad utility width, 130% down to 115 at the drop. FX wide send, up in breakdown, down in drop. Hybrid reverb decay, longer in breakdown, shorter in drop. Now common mistakes to avoid. Mistake 1. Widening low mids, especially 150 to 400. That's where the mud lives. High pass the side channel. Mistake 2. Chorus on everything. Chorus plus wide reverb plus stereo delay equals phase soup. Mistake 3. Pads masking snare crack. Use a small mid dip around 2 to 4 kHz in the pad mid channel. Mistake 4. No mono check. Mono check saves you from heartbreak. Mistake 5. Reverb too long in the drop. Fast drums need controlled tails. Let's finish with a quick mini practice you can do in 15 to 20 minutes. Load a simple DNB loop. Kick, snare, hats, rolling bass, 16 bars. Add a pad using Wavitable or analog. Any preset is fine. On the pad, EQ8 high pass at 200 Hz. This audio version is shortened for playback.